B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thursday.
July 30th.
Thursday. That's what I know.
Nice.
I'll tell you, is it the 30th? Yeah, it's the 30th.
Sure is.
That trade deadline tomorrow. No, get it. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I watched too much baseball this week. You want to talk about upside down world, boy.
So he's been forced to do his job as a sports talk radio show host today and this week.
Yeah.
I've been watching the games.
Hey, you're going to sit there and you're going to rip them.
Shocking, I know.
Right? Yeah, like Tom Caron said, you know, if you're going to watch them, I mean, you're going to rip them.
So be better. Be better.
I tried to be better. I took it to heart.
You enjoy last night's game?
I thought it was competitive. I mean, yeah, obviously it wasn't the ass whipping of Friday night, but
it certainly had drama.
It's a good back and forth game. Yeah. I get a little angst, a little anxiety, as Jim Lau said on our text chain.
Sports drama, a little sports anxiety. Yes, all those.
Then you're like, okay, this team's showing some balls, a little bit of balls, a little fight. That's something we wanted from them. Felt like when they left Fenway Park the other night, a dead-ass team.
We'll get to that. We'll also talk to Jared Karabas coming up at 10:20 this morning. Jared Karabas, former friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yep. Barstool Sports, he'll be with us coming up in just minutes. As far as baseball goes, the big story today is Joe Kelly.
It's unbelievable.
Getting suspended yesterday for 8 games by Chris Young, MLB disciplinarian. First suspension that he's handed out on the job. 8 games for Joe Kelly.
So he gets 8 games, but yet the other night didn't even get a warning. The Dodgers didn't even get a warning in a game. The Astros did. I think I got that right. I think the Astros are the only ones that got the warning.
I didn't see that, but my guess is they warned both teams.
I don't know.
I mean, you typically get both teams warned when that happens.
I told you, asked me yesterday, what do you think of Joe Kelly? I said, I actually like Joe Kelly because he's got some spit and fire to him. The only problem I had was that how high he threw at the head, right?
Yeah.
That he could kill somebody.
That's what got him 8 games.
Yeah, that's what got him 8 games. But, my God, the old-time baseball writers just up in arms over this. Like, oh, this is good. This is what it should be. And yeah, just, but no, it actually made baseball exciting for a couple days here.
Well, I wouldn't say all the old-time baseball writers because we saw that, I think it was Ken Rosenthal who said it was excessive. And it's 8 games?
Well, it equates to 22 in a regular season?
But it's 8 games even in a regular season, right? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to suspend someone for half a game? Like, no, that's not how it works. You're still going to get a normal suspension, even though it's a shortened season.
Right.
But it is worse in a shortened season. I do agree. But 8 games for that? I mean, listen, I'm completely against what Joe Kelly did in terms of throwing up high. 96 of the head. You're an a-hole. What are you doing? That's not how you do it. So that obviously pissed off the league. But I also think Major League Baseball is factoring in a couple of things here. They want to end whatever retaliation there is against the Astros.
The Astros are going to get all year if they don't do anything.
I'd like to ask Joe Kelly a question. How do you feel about your 2018 Red Sox, who were also accused of cheating and were found guilty by Major League Baseball? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the multiple sign stealing incidents with, you know, Apple Watches that happened while you were on the team in Boston? Do you have any thoughts on that, Joe? Like the fact that, oh, Joe Kelly, he's against the bad guys. Wait a minute. He played for Alex Cora and won a World Series with him in 2018 and was on the 2017 team as well that had an incident. Does everyone forget that? Like, oh, Joe Kelly's going to clean up the game. Shut up. Joe Kelly's been on teams that had the same issues. No, not to the degree the Astros did, apparently. But Joe Kelly played for the Mastermind in 2018. Does everyone forget that part of it? And Joe Kelly wasn't on the Dodgers in 2017, which they have the gripe for. Like, that part is a little annoying. Everyone's just conveniently forgetting the teams that Joe Kelly played on. What?
No, yeah, go ahead. I was telling him nothing. Go ahead. We're going to get to something else today. Pretty pertinent. That's all.
Something else today.
No, somebody, one of the players that opted out, chirping back at Tom Curran here. So, Patrick Chung.
Oh, yeah. Right now?
Yeah, just posted. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that.
That's all right. We'll get to that. I'm just alerting Jim, not you.
So that part's annoying, but everyone should agree. Eight games is insane. Because let's not forget, he also didn't hit the guy. And I know that the intent was there and the result wasn't, but you've got to factor that in. Like, he didn't actually hit anybody. Well, he didn't actually hit anybody in the head.
Right.
Is what I mean to say. He did not hit someone in the head.
Here's my question. Okay,
no one actually got hurt as a result of this.
Say he didn't. That guy's in a hospital. Say Correa went to the hospital.
Right. Which is a real possibility. Well, not Correa. It would have been Bregman. Oh, yeah. Still.
I mean, but what would it have been then? If it's 8, what would it have been then? 16? Give him 20? 25? We're just dock him for half the year. Give him 30. Yeah. I mean, I do think it's excessive. I like the back and forth of baseball, throwing at guys, and you know, it's kind of the old unwritten thing. Like, yeah, you get a little receipt. You're gonna get today. You get a little pink slip on this one. That back and forth, I like. You actually went and bought the package just to be interested, not only in Mookie Betts, but it's Dodgers and Astros. There might be a little pee and vinegar in that game, and that's what you got the other night. I just think it's too much, though. Too much by baseball. Good to get 4 games.
I don't even know that 4 is the right number. I think it might be less than that.
2.
Let's not forget, he's a repeat offender. He's been suspended before for things like this. 3 games. 3-game suspension.
I mean, 8's a lot in a shortened season.
8's
right?
Insane.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's completely crazy. But I think there's a lot of factors. 1, he's been suspended before. 2, the league wants to send a message that they are protecting the Astros, which is ridiculous. No, you don't get to protect the Astros now. No, you failed to punish any of the players on the Astros roster.
They're trying to protect themselves.
Joe Kelly just got 8 games, which is 8 more games than all of the Astros combined served suspension-wise for their actions. None of them got a game.
That's unbelievable.
None of them served a single punishment that was part of it. Just tell us what happened. We won't punish anybody. Like, come on. So 8 games is crazy, and Major League Baseball didn't do its job properly punishing the players that were involved in that on the 2017 Astros. They did not do their job on that front, which is why you have the situation you are currently in with Joe Kelly and will have with other teams. You know what my sort of issue is, too? Why is Dave Roberts letting Joe Kelly be that guy? Just because he's nuts?
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
There's no one else you could have found to do what Joe Kelly was doing. Like, there's no one else from that team that's around anymore that actually cares enough to be the guy to go after the Astros.
You got to want to do it. And I think Kelly likes doing it and wants to do it. You know what I mean? You got to have that in you. And he's like, okay, Joe's got it. And let's let Lamb throw at it. Yeah.
Do you think Joe Kelly actually,
even though there's no history,
cares about that? Or do you think Joe Kelly just enjoys
Just being Mr. Tough Guy on the mound.
That's what I sort of believe.
I kind of like that.
Joe Kelly did this just because he enjoys hitting guys.
I just think the guy's he's comical to me.
Like, it entertains him. It amuses him.
Scrawny guy, and he's got an edge to him. Like, he don't care. He'll get in a fight with the biggest guy.
He knows that's what baseball wants. It's what baseball fans want.
Yes, yes.
He's playing to the crowd. He's a character of the game all of a sudden.
Like it.
He's what baseball needs. Baseball needs more of these guys.
We're talking about this. Like, we've been doing this for 2 days now.
Is that a reason to not suspend him?
somewhat or lower the suspension.
No, but I don't blame him for doing it. He's doing what baseball fans want. Baseball fans want to see these guys get hit, right? That was the whole thing. That was what spring training was about.
And we go back to what we talked about yesterday. Is it that Joe Kelly went at the guy's head, or is it that Joe Kelly just blows and can't find the plate?
It's not that. No, it's too direct.
He can't find the back. He found the head instead.
Well, right. It's,
just a little bit high.
Hit him in the ass.
Just a little bit high.
Hit him in the ass.
That's what gets away from
him. What are you doing? And he's up at his head at 96. I'm sorry, but that's never okay. Like, that's not okay. I will not endorse that. I am not here to see that.
We should try
this. I don't want to see
anyone. If he hit him in the ass, he was not getting suspended.
Right.
So that he's getting suspended for that reason. Yeah, for the location. So
that's what he should have done.
We should do this.
I just don't know if he could have controlled that.
We should try.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody thinks it's so easy, sucks, right?
So Joe Kelly tries to hit a guy in the thigh, and he can't do it. He ends up near his head.
These guys suck at two. Should get him the 3 games.
Right.
These guys paint corners. Of course he could aim better. We should try this outside with Sarge. Like, let Sarge be at bat, and we'll try and hit Sarge right in the ribs. And see how many go at Sarge's head. I'll bring a helmet in. I'll bring my football helmet in tomorrow.
617-779-0985. Call's coming up in just a bit. We'll talk to Carabas. He joins us next.
When it comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on this Thursday. Beadle and Zoe from the Town Fair Tire Studios. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to welcome in from Barstool Sports. It's Jared Carabas, our old friend. Hi, Jared.
Hello, Beadle. How are you?
How you doing?
What's up, Rocket?
Zoe, how are we?
How many sets of arms did you do today already?
Usually 2 in the morning, and then we kind of kick it into gear later after lunch. We got to get some fuel in there first.
Hey, the new apartment you have there, I saw that on Twitter last night. That looks like a nice place.
It's a very nice place. You're more than welcome to come by whenever you want.
What square footage on that?
Probably like 17-ish.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. And whereabouts is this? Don't give us the address.
Parts unknown.
Not even a neighborhood? Not even a part of town?
Not even a city, not even a state, Beetle.
West Village.
I'm off the grid.
Off the grid. Okay. All right. Jared, I know you are a Joe Kelly fan.
Mm.
You are a Joe Kelly defender. Give us your reaction to him getting...
Whoa, Beetle. I mean, I would say I'm unbiased. And it's...
I wouldn't. I would not say that. I would agree.
Why?
Who called you biased? Was it John Heyman?
Yeah, that guy stinks.
Yeah, we agree.
Didn't he used to do this show?
Oh, God, we had to get that interview shoved down our throat.
It was bad.
You talk about pain every day.
It was not good. It was a fight to get rid of it, too.
Days we wanted to call out.
John Heyman, the Scott Boras puppet.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think of Kelly's 8 games? We both think it's ridiculous.
Oh, it is ridiculous. It's the equivalent of 22 games. The other thing, too, is that Joe Kelly got suspended 6 games for actually hitting Tyler Austin and then fighting him. He got 8 games for missing Carlos Correa with a curveball and then throwing a fastball behind Alex Bregman. And then if you want to say that I'm playing favorites, Alex Bregman's my guy too. So I'm just calling it like I see it. I mean, Alex Bregman, that's a friend of the program as well.
That is true. No, that is absolutely true. I know your history there. I believe you struck him out. Didn't you strike him out? And
yeah,
ball?
Threw 82 by him from 40 feet, which looks like 119.
Yeah,
ooh,
absolutely. So how do you feel about the behind-the-head pitch at 96?
I think that Joe Kelly got Jose Altuve on the first pitch. It was a first pitch out, so one out, Jose Altuve. For the rest of the inning, Joe Kelly did not throw a fastball for a called strike. And he had one called strike. It was a curveball. Carlos Correa did not see a fastball the entire at bat, and he walked 2 guys to bring the tying run to the plate. Both of the walks were on 4 pitches. The guy is just wild. He just has no idea where the ball is going.
So you don't do you think this is ordered? And if it was ordered, why would they pick Joe Kelly out of everybody on the staff?
No, he's crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Think, A, he's crazy enough to do it, and he's probably like the captain of the bullpen down there. He's that guy. And I don't know that, you know, I think John Heyman, that idiot, was like, his whole take was that, oh, he wasn't even on the Dodgers in 2017. What is he so mad about? Did John Heyman miss the entire beginning of spring training when every team had like six players that came to say how pissed they were about what happened? It doesn't matter if you were directly impacted. And also, Joe Kelly was on the Red Sox in 2017, who the Astros went through to get to the World Series. It doesn't matter about like who was in the World Series against them. He still played Joe Kelly's team in the playoffs that year. So John Heyman's an idiot, but that's a different story.
Okay, so here's a question, though. John Heyman, yes, we'll all agree. Yep, sure, John Heyman, idiot. Joe Kelly, as you just mentioned, was a member of the 2018 Red Sox and was also on the 2017 Red Sox. And those are two teams that have scandals, not to the level of the Astros, but Joe Kelly has been on these teams. Hell, he played for Alex Cora and won a World Series with him in 2018.
Well, the Red Sox were completely exonerated for 2018 and 2017. That was all John Farrell's fault. And he was promptly fired. So justice was served. I mean, I don't think that the whole Apple Watch thing, pitchers don't benefit from that. I mean, sure, you might get some run support from the offense.
Yeah, pitchers weren't benefiting in Houston either. That doesn't matter. The team benefited.
Does Carlos Correa pitch?
No, Carlos Correa doesn't pitch.
Okay.
What does that mean? What argument is that?
I'm just saying, if this was intentional, which I don't believe it was, then justice was a little bit served here. It's just a couple of warning shots. But Joe Kelly was on the 2017 Red Sox. Yes, the Apple Watch thing. But 2018, the Red Sox were completely exonerated. So I don't even know why you bring up that year.
Because Alex Cora was the manager of the team, and he was also the mastermind of what happened
in Houston.
My guess would be that Joe Kelly doesn't have any issues with Alex Cora and is probably pretty friendly with him, because I think all of the players were pretty tight with Alex Cora.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
fraudulent? Like, he's out here going after Correa, but he's still boys with Alex Cora, I assume. I'm making a big assumption there.
No, I would say that it's not fraudulent. I wouldn't say that it's hypocritical, because it didn't happen in the same place. Alex Cora was in Houston at the time. He comes to Boston. They didn't do anything wrong. It was proven. The league looked into it. It is what it is. And I think that, again, this all comes back to, did Joe Kelly do this on purpose? To which I don't think that he did. And I'm not even.
You mean throwing at the head, just to be specific. Throwing at the head, he didn't mean to do.
He would not throw at somebody's head. And it was a 3-0 count. And then he still went on to walk someone on four pitches later on. And Carlos Correa never saw a fastball. He couldn't locate the fastball. He threw, I think it was six or seven pitches in the at to Correa. He didn't throw a fastball because he couldn't locate it. I don't think that this was intentional. And if it was, I think he would have given you a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge about it.
Well, did he kind of do that with Correa, with the chirping back and forth, though? With a little, you know?
Yeah, I think it was more just like, stop being a baby about it. Like, it was if you're Joe Kelly and you think Carlos Correa, who was the whiniest of them all in spring training, if Carlos Correa is standing there at home plate and he's eyeing you being like, oh, you threw at me, and you're Joe Kelly being like, dude, I got 101 in the tank. If I wanted to hit you, I would have dotted you up with a fastball. You literally saw zero fastballs in that at bat. Like, that's what that was. Go cry in the dugout.
Hey, what do you make of the Chaim Bloom era so far here with the Red Sox?
I think it's way too soon to tell. I think Chaim kind of came in here with an impossible task: make this team competitive while also getting rid of the best player and the second best pitcher, and then don't bring back Brock Holt and then see what happens. So it's the Chaim Bloom era, in my opinion, hasn't even started yet.
Do you think they're tanking? Do you think there's a willful move to tank and not perform well on this team?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that there's, I mean, the guys want to do well because, I don't know, if you're a guy like JD Martinez, right, you opt out and you're going to try and get the bag somewhere else because he still has years left, right? And if he opts out, he wants more money than what he's already owed from the Red Sox. Right. I don't think he would opt out to leave Boston. So there's guys that have different motivations.
No, but I don't think it's players. I would never accuse a player of doing that. I think it's about the rotation, which is wretched after Eovaldi. And I understand you didn't have much to work with, right? Didn't have much to work with considering Heimblum got here late. And obviously there's just not a lot you could do there given the circumstances. But how do you feel about J.D. Martinez batting second? Do you like it?
No, I don't.
Do you think he likes it? Because I don't think he does.
I have no idea if he likes it or not, but I don't like it. I would rather have him hitting third. I think this is kind of where you miss Mookie. Is Mookie was just like, we have a guy with a defined role. This is our leadoff hitter. And then after that, you put your on-base percentage guy second, and you put your best pure hitter third. I know that there's a trend going around the league where you have plenty of, this guy is our best hitter, so he's going to hit second. There's a bunch of teams that are doing it. I would much rather have the traditional leadoff guy, on base guy, and then your prototypical best pure hitter hitting third.
There's just little things I look at, and I know what you're saying, because when I see J.D. Martinez batting second, I'm like, oh, that's upstairs. That's the guys upstairs. They put this guy in the lineup at second. And then the other night, the lineup doesn't have Verdugo in it. It doesn't have Mitch Moreland in it. And I look at some of the little things and say, okay, are they making JD uncomfortable because they know that he's sort of a creature of habit and he'd rather probably be batting third? And so they do something that they could pass off as being a analytical move. And then they don't put their best lineup out there two nights ago.
The Benintendi one too.
And I just look at some of the things and some of the pitching decisions. What is this? Or 2 through 5, they are terrible. Are they looking for draft position next year, knowing they don't really have a shot this year? And they're taking a pass, and they're resetting, hopefully, assuming this season keeps going. That's why I arrive at that thought.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there was, a meeting held where it's like, hey, guys, here's what we got to do to have an awful team so we can get better draft position. I think it's more along the lines of when you trade your best player and then your best pitcher is out for the year and then the second best pitcher goes with the best player in a trade and you really don't do anything to replace those guys, you're acknowledging that you're punting on the season. I understand that the Red Sox offense, if it reaches its true potential, which it hasn't to this point, it's a top five offense in baseball. So I'm not saying that they rolled out a roster that was just supposed to roll over and die. But when you look at that rotation, anyone can look at that and be like, we didn't even make it one turn through the Red Sox rotation before we got to the portion of never heard of this guy before. Usually, you get into a 162 game season, you might get into July and you've got these call ups for spot starters, or it's a doubleheader and you need a day starter, and then you roll out those guys. This was just a standard opening day, first week of the season, and we already got into the who the hell is Matt Hall and Josh Ostrich. Who are these people? And that's when you kind of look at it being like, oh, okay. They're telling you that we're not trying this year, and better luck next year, which I actually do have faith in their ability to build a much better roster for 2021. But it is kind of insulting for 2020 to be like, yeah, this is the best we could do. No, it's not. But, are you going to actually invest time and money into building a roster that just, might show up to the dance, and that's about it? It is what it is.
Exciting win last night, though. 6-5. They hung on, baby.
They did.
You were crapping your pants in the ninth, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was I thought for sure that ball was looping in.
I did, too. I thought it was going to drop.
I thought it did, too, off the bat.
The TV angle.
I was like, oh, God. Oh, no.
A little dribbler, yes. Looper.
Yeah, that was the grit your teeth emoji that I had as the ball was in the air. I was like, that's for sure falling in. We're either going to see a loss right here or a tie game. But, I'm along for the ride. I'm here for the entertainment value. I've already accepted after losing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, I'd rather know right away that it's not going to happen. There's not going to be I think all of us knew this team was not World Series potential, but they had Cinderella story potential. Like, is this team where you have guys who have been to the World Series and won titles, are they going to resent the fact that no one thinks that they have a chance and then come out guns blazing? Answer that question, absolutely not. So you knock out the Cinderella story right away, done deal. All right, I'm just here for the chaos.
All right, Jared, always great talking to you.
Yeah.
You guys, you know what? I'm going to text you both. We'll come up with a group text. I'll tell you the location of the new launching pad, and just we'll have a little night together.
Sounds good.
I'm in. See you then.
Yeah, bring Big Cat. Maybe it'll cheer him up from the week.
I love that. Let's do it.
All right, see you, buddy.
Jared, thanks.
See ya.
Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports. Always great talking with him.
1,700 square feet. It's
back nice, in the day. Nice, you know, size. Back in the day before Jared got famous.
Remember when he lived in that little shoebox? He was always bitching about
it. Roommates.
Bed had to flop the bed down on the wall to create room.
I miss him.
Yeah.
I do.
But he got big.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Nice place he's got, though.
I must hang out with John Heyman a lot.
617-779-0985. Let's talk about that win last night.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it in typical Red Sox fashion. Let's rip the manager for the win.
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Jim, you want to do that?
Yes.
I want to hear Jim do it because
we did. Yeah. We got a talk show host, Jim.
I think there were
a lot of people watching in the eighth inning going, what the hell? And it all worked out, though. Red Sox win. We'll get to it next.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And look at it come through here with two down. Going after the first pitch, soft roller, charging it. McNeely lost the handle on it. A run in to score. And the Red Sox have retaken the lead 4-3.
Yeah, taking anything you can get, man. A little squibbler down the line. He had no chance on that play. Even if he barehands it, he's got no play at first base.
Eighth inning last night. Red Sox pull one out there, Jim. It all worked out. Exactly how Ron Renneke planned it.
Yeah. According to plan.
So to start, Pilar hits in the eighth. Pilar singled to left. Bogaerts hit for Lynn there. Bogaerts walked. And then you have Benintendi.
And was quickly pinch ran for, so he must be banged up.
Yeah, he's the hamstring is a thing. So here's a question. Let's stop there. Why is he playing if he's hurt? If they're trying to get him right.
Trying to get him to hit a home run.
Like, what if he hit it? Yeah, I know. What if he hit a double there? Is there a risk of him going to second base and injuring himself?
Absolutely.
Going out on a full, an all-out sprint in a 3-3 game?
Absolutely.
They probably told him, hey, see if you can hit one out against the lefty. You know? And if you can't, don't chance it. Just take it easy. If you got to hit a ball in the gap, if you can make it to second, go, but don't stretch it.
So with Wilson in, that now means Benintendi and Martinez are in there to face a lefty. How do you feel about that?
What, that they had the three out of the top four batters in the lineup left-handed?
Yes.
It's not a great look. Without Bogaerts, it's tough to not do that, but that's not a great option to have.
Not a great look. But it all worked out. It all worked out.
First and second, nobody out. Benintendi coming up, right? Three out of next four batters are lefty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You have one right-handed hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want him to hit?
I'd probably use him.
Your best hitter in the lineup?
Yeah.
Who you taking
best
out?
Best power hitter? Yeah, you want to use him, right?
I would think so.
Don't bunt.
He loves to bunt. Have you noticed this? Did they do any of this last year?
I'm putting this on. By the way, no. I've put
it's
all the moves.
It's got to be a Renneke thing.
I've put all the moves this season on Bloom. This is Bloom's move. This is Bloom's move. This was an in-game, in-the-moment decision. This is the manager's decision. This is on Renneke.
Okay, but I think Renneke likes to bunt. I think he likes to play that game.
Does he realize they're going to take his best hitter out of the lineup by walking him after the bunt?
Yep.
Does he realize that?
I don't think he did. I don't think he... See, this is...
And so the lefty can face two more lefties?
I don't think he was... Which, again, Devers came up and he struck out. If you're a good manager, you could typically think, what happens if I do this? All right, if I use Benintendi to move the guys over, now I've left first base open and I've got my best hitter at the plate. What's going to happen there in a tied 3-3 game in the eighth inning?
Your number two hitter, by the way. There's another issue with the lineup there. He's hitting second, and that puts him in that spot too.
Which is a Heim Bloom move.
What should he hit, Benintendi? Where should he bat?
No, this is about J.D. Martinez.
Oh.
J.D. Martinez, I would bat him third. So
I'd keep him third.
And so now they just bring up, you know, they walk Martinez, and now you've got Devers.
Could you say you put fourth Moreland?
Another lefty who strikes out, and now you've got two out, and you've got Moreland coming up, and luckily it worked out okay.
Yeah, he hit the ball at the end of the bat, and the third baseman couldn't handle it. He probably wouldn't have thrown him out anyways, but either way.
He probably wouldn't have had him, but it worked out.
They got lucky. They got lucky at points last night. Defensively and on offense.
Who's on fire in the early going here.
What's he, 8 for 18?
Is that what he is?
I think so. I think he's eight for 18.
He's getting hits left and right. So it worked out. But I thought that the eighth inning just showed that Renicki's. I don't expect him to be good. He's not a good manager. We ripped on him as soon as this was announced in the offseason. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be bad.
That's next level dumb, though. That's not like a nuanced thing. That's a basic thing. I mean, your best hitter is coming up. You'd rather have your best hitter up, give Benintendi a chance to hit, and then have your best hitter come up with maybe one out in first and second?
See, I mean, the guy's 63, he's 63 years old. He's 63 years old, and he's been around. Like, how long have you been around the game? Like,
I don't know.
Those are little things.
I just don't think some guys are made to be the manager.
Well, listen, he wanted to get that one run because they have a strong bullpen that can go shut it down with a one-run lead, right? That he was playing for one run, right? They got three, and they needed all three to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
My other complaint about him is that he brings in guys who suck out of the bullpen. Not that he's got great guys to choose from, but in tight games, he'll bring someone in who sucks. Like earlier in games. And you're like, well, what's the point of this? We talked about Dylan Covey yesterday, right? Yeah, well, a 3-0 game quickly turns into a 5-0 game because you just go to someone, you just go to one of the suck bag guys, like mop up guys here. What are we doing? I don't think his bullpen management is going to be great either. And not that he's got a good bullpen.
Right.
He's got a couple of guys. We've all wanted to see Barnes. We finally saw him last night. and Workman got out of it last night.
It was good to feel some sports angst, though. Live sports angst, anxiety.
It was.
That, like, pressure feeling you feel. Like, you're watching the game. All right, what are they going to do? Are they going to squeak out of this? Like, you're looking at them. It's just, it's a good feeling to have.
I bet last night's game did a great rating because it was a good game.
He hung on.
There was action. You know, there are things happening.
It was back and forth. And I thought Devers saved her ass last night at third. I thought he did.
Oh, he did. If that ball gets by him.
You got a strikeout, and Vasquez is going for the bang-bang double play real quick. And he did a hell of a job digging that ball out. Ball goes in the corner, you got run scoring.
I
got
to say,
that.
For all the crap we've talked about Devers and all his errors so far, he went a long way to make sure he knocked that thing down and not let it get out of the infield. That's a different game if that happens. Also, Vasquez throwing down to third. Throwing down to third. I'm talking about the play that he went into the hole to get the ground ball.
Oh, that one too. And then it was a no throw.
I did not think Devers did a good job on that play, though, that Vasquez threw down on.
Ooh,
like he let the ball get away from it. It's a dangerous play, period.
Right.
But he didn't do a great job of making sure he caught the ball.
I think he was shocked he threw it.
I think he was too. I think he caught off guard, though.
He still covered it, and still it didn't go.
He made sure it didn't get by him.
Right.
But that was a dangerous play.
That was stupid.
I thought it was stupid too. I'm like, stupid. As soon as he threw the ball, I'm like, what are you doing?
Now after that, does Renicki tell him let's not do that?
Yeah, don't do
time.
That next time.
Does he? Or did he say?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Nice try.
You know what? I give him credit. They needed outs at that point. If Vasquez could have stolen an out, do it. You need to steal outs with this team as much as you can.
So, Jim, you weren't here with us yesterday, but you now have 3 boxes that have accumulated of goods.
2 boxes and an envelope over here on the side of me.
Oh,
two
an envelope.
Boxes and can we see the envelope?
I didn't see that one. Is it like a padded envelope?
Oh, yeah. Oh, like that.
You know what? That looks like someone had the sign for it.
One of them is care of Jim Louth to the Zolak, Bertrand, and Hardy show.
I like that.
What are you laughing at in there? Sarge, like, what is so funny?
I like how it was very appropriate to Jim there. That's a very professional way it's written to him.
Let's open up the boxes and see what Jim got in the mail today.
This is good.
We'll do it next.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The This hour of Zolank and Bertrand is brought to you by AdCure. 1-800-ALCOHOL. Addiction treatment is essential, and AdCure is here for patients in this difficult time. AdCure is taking every precaution during the COVID-19 outbreak. Go to AdCure.com or call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
Perfect song for the unboxing. Perfect. Love it.
I should love to work out this.
Jim Louse is not the man in the box. He's the man.
We put him in the box. Nobody puts Jim in the box. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Unboxed Jim Louth. Oh. The graphic on the simulcast, I don't fully understand. But it's like Jim Louth is a baby.
No, it's like the guy that runs Friendlies.
It's actually really well done, though. Look at that sort of cartoonish drawing of your face. It's really good. It's really nice. It's like he's a little kid. I get it. It's like a little kid opening gifts. All right, I guess I do get it. Little kid Jim Louth. Again, just to remind everyone what's happening, Jim Louth has a new office here at the Sports Hub with 36 oddly shaped shelves.
Yeah.
And with that being the case, we have requested you send him your useless memorabilia of all kinds. Jim Louth, care of 98.5, the Sports Hub, 55 Morrissey Boulevard, Dorchester, Mass., 02125.
The boxes have gotten bigger. Like, that's the size of box you put an animal in. I hope there's not an animal in
there. You know what they say?
There shouldn't be an animal in there.
You know what they say?
What?
Good things come in small packages.
Yes.
Do you want to open the small one first, then?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what we have here. And we appreciate all of our listeners.
From Framingham.
All of our listeners who have sent things in already.
You need lotion there.
Who's this from? Do we have a name? We have a name?
I have a last name, but I'm going to see if there's a first. Oh, I know what this is. I can feel it.
You could.
That's what she said.
Don't put your hand in there without knowing what's inside.
We saw this on Twitter the other day. They sent this on Twitter.
All right. What is it?
This is a pack of gum given to me by Jim Corsi.
The Jim Corsi gum.
Before a Sox A's game in 1995.
Awesome.
I was 11 and kept it all these years. Huge fan of the show, Anthony.
Anthony.
Soft bazooka.
Piece.
No, we're not, no, not opening, no, opening the gum. That's Jim Corsi's gum.
And it's 27 years old, 25 years old.
I know Jim Corsi. I'm going down the street.
That doesn't mean you can eat his gum. That doesn't mean you can just open up Jim Corsi's 27-year-old gum. Wait, how many years ago?
He said flip over for the full story. Do you want the full story?
Yes. What year was it?
1995.
Okay, 25 years ago. Can't believe 1995 was 25 years ago. Holy crap.
Tell me about
my grandpa coached Corsi in Little League.
Jesus.
And Corsi invited us to the game. Before the game, he introduced us to Eck, Mark McGuire, and Ricky Henderson.
Wow! What a day!
He gave us seats looking into the Sox dugout in the first row. I got a ball from him and Troy O'Leary that day. Corsi was on the A's then, but the Sox won 4-1.
Wow!
I was going to say, that's a big game for this guy personally to give me this memorabilia, but if he got two balls, then...
Right. He doesn't need the gum.
Good.
The fact that he kept the gum is kind of weird.
It's kind of strange. Like, I'm
why didn't you eat the gum at the game?
Now you're a weirdo. You have like Jim Corsi's gum.
No. He's not a weirdo.
That might be the best item on the shelf so far. This is pretty close.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty close.
We're going to have to get something that allows everyone to know that was Jim Corsi's gum from a game in 1995.
And Hardy to make another.
We'll have Hardy make something for that.
Yeah.
Right. Like a museum. I'm also thinking that when we're done, Jim, we're going to have to get some of this glass.
Yeah, we're going to
over those
encase
shelves.
It.
We're going to encase it.
Yeah.
You think it'll stand up, though?
Plexiglass.
No, we'll get something plexi. We'll have it, you know.
Yeah,
we'll have
something
it,
light.
It'll look really nice. You know, we want something with UV protection, museum quality. We don't want things fading over time in there.
Maz and Dan O'Brien, the tool bag.
That's a tool bags podcast.
I was going to say, from all the windows in your office, all that sunlight getting in there.
I know. It's great.
All right, let's go. A great item. Thank you, Anthony. The Jim Corsi gum.
That's pretty good.
From 1995.
Pretty good.
Let's get that from Josh in West Newberry.
Okay, what Josh.
Where the hell's that at?
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you sending something in.
This is heavy.
Ooh. Oh, could it be?
Huh. Oh! Cane's mayonnaise.
Yeah!
Says, suck it, Zolak. Zolack.
Suck it, Zolak, with Cane's mayonnaise.
And it says fraud on the bottom.
Wow. That's
this might be taller than a CD. I'm not
that
sure.
That might be a problem. Don't know if we're going to be able to fit that on
the five and a half inch
shelf.
That's a thoughtful show listener.
That is. That's great. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Suck it, Zolak.
Looks like this has been out in the heat, too.
Yum.
Put some potatoes on.
Put that on the sandwich.
We should see how South Six Sergeant gets.
Let's make some
Tim
potato salad.
Oh,
let's
put it on the heat.
Tim and Hopkinton.
Put it in my car for an hour.
Good packing tape.
Good,
here.
A lot of tape.
Nice. Want to make sure it's nice and secure.
Jesus.
I'm going to get Jim a box cutter. I'm bringing you a box cutter tomorrow.
Oh, geez. This is like five packages.
All right. With the mother load. We got a mother load here. A lot of Amazon white padded envelopes inside to protect the contents of the box.
Whoa.
Yep. What do we have?
Almost fell out. Oh, it's the Amazon packaging. It's not from Amazon.
Right, it's not from Amazon. Yeah. It's good recycling use of the packaging.
We got a Bruins puck.
Like that?
Oh, wait, I got a story. Hang on.
Oh, we got a story. Let's read the story. Again, Josh in Hopkinton, I believe.
Hey, guys. 10-2 program. Here's an autographed game puck signed by number 16, Marco Sturm.
Yes! This is exactly the type of thing we need.
It's unbelievable.
All right.
Scored the game winner in the Winter Classic at Fenway.
Oh, looks like a picture.
Jesus, Jim. Makes so much noise.
We got the Marco Sturm puck. That's a good one.
Sounds like Jim's bacon sound for like the off season, the hot season.
Autographed framed photo of number 35, Manny Fernandez, goalie.
Jesus. Perfect.
I want that hung on the wall. Forget the shelves.
Yeah, we'll have to get
Manny
Josh
Fernandez
on that.
Goes
one
on
the
wall.
We'll have to hang that on the wall.
Hang that on the wall. That's Manny Fernandez. How many games did Manny Fernandez play here?
You know what? Winship's got to have some of those footballs. Remember, like you get the nondescript patriot that comes in? You get him to sign the footballs, and then he stashes them. Like a Tully Banta cane ball.
He loves Cliff and Rob. They totally crack him up. We're doing a great job of getting him through the COVID-19 situation.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yep. So that might deserve a Cliff and Rob later in the week. I don't know.
We could have a little more. We could have new Cliff and Rob material soon. Did we send that out for processing?
I'm kind of afraid to. I don't want to break it.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be 36 years old, 35 years old.
Nah, it's still good.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
Games played in Boston for Manny Fernandez. He had four in 2007, 2008. He actually played 28 games the following year. So a total of 32 games in a Bruins uniform for Manny Fernandez. Yeah. And now Jim is the proud recipient of a 8x10 autograph picture of Manny Fernandez.
We need more Mannys in. We need like a Manny Del Carmen signed picture.
We need to get it going here.
Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, I definitely don't trust that on the top of the shelves. That's got to go on the wall. You're right.
It's got to be hung on the wall. But can we see the Sturm puck? That's
Yeah.
It looks like a nice item there. Nice.
It's got the silver Sharpie.
Oh, I like that. And they're claiming that's a game used puck.
No.
No, it's not a game used puck.
Autograph game puck.
It doesn't say game used, it says game puck.
Game puck.
Do they put the Bruins logo on the game puck?
No. Not that big. No.
No.
No, it's small. It's smaller, yes. Unless they've changed the puck.
That looks like when you get a gift shop.
But yeah.
Pro shop.
Or Tom said maybe practice, shoot around, something like that.
Yeah, that's more likely.
Thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
The game puck does have the team logo, but it's very small in the middle.
All right, I got to clean up in here.
Okay, clean up. We'll get to headlines with Sarge. Get you caught up on things. Let's talk about Cam Newton.
And sure.
Adjusting to the Patriots offense, or not adjusting, but just learning things about the Patriots offense. Zoe's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
You know Zoe. He's always talking to people.
Talk to a couple people.
I'll get to that next.